Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, yes, I still love you, but I have to feed you out of a long-handled spoon. I love you, but I have to, as President Reagan said, trust and verify. Yeah, you're the kind of person that I have to verify things. Anyway, and to our standing between the living and the dead, memorial and devotional family. This is yours truly, Daniel White III, the son of Daniel White Jr., the father of Daniel White IV and Daniel White V, president of Gospel Light Society International with the White House. Daily reading of the chronological Bible, episode number 166, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint, this unique Bible arrangement, allows us to read the whole Bible as a single true story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading Numbers chapter 1 verses 1 through 54. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for what you have allowed us to do this earlier today. I praise you and I thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your holy word. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Holy Father God, open up your holy word to us no matter where we read. It is amazing how you do that, how you speak to our hearts from your holy word. That which would drive the lost mind to boredom drives us to joy and excitement and growth. So, Lord, I pray that your Holy Ghost would teach us, help us to understand it, to apply it to our lives, to share it with others, and to teach your holy word to others in a discipleship way and to preach your holy gospel to the lost. In fact, Lord, through the preaching of the gospel today, we pray that lost souls would come to know you as Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God. Please take heed. Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 to 54. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you. Of the tribe of Reuben, Elizur, the son of Shedeur. Of Simeon, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. Of Judah, Nashon, the son of Amminadab. Of Issachar, Nethaneel, the son of Zuar. Of Zebulun, Eliab, the son of Helon. Of the children of Joseph, of Ephraim, Elishama, the son of Amihud of Manasseh. Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur. Of Benjamin, Abidan, the son of Gideoni. Of Dan, Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai. Of Asher, Pajael, the son of Ochran. Of Gad, Eliasaph, the son of Duel. Of Naphtali, Ahira, the son of Enan. These were the renown of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their names, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, by their polls. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. And the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Reuben, were 46,500. Of the children of Simeon, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, those that were numbered of them, according to the number of the names, by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300. Of the children of Gad, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Gad, were 45,650. Of the children of Judah, by their generations after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Judah, were 64,600. Of the children of Issachar, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Issachar, were 54,400. Of the children of Zebulun, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Zebulun, were 57,400. Of the children of Joseph, namely of the children of Ephraim, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Ephraim, were 40,500. Of the children of Manasseh, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Manasseh, were 32,200. Of the children of Benjamin, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Benjamin, were 35,400. Of the children of Dan, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Dan, were 62,700. Of the children of Asher, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Asher, were 41,500. Of the children of Naphtali, throughout their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Naphtali, were 53,400. These are those that were numbered, which Moses and Aaron numbered. And the princes of Israel, being 12 men, each one was for the house of his fathers. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. Even all they that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,550. But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. For the Lord had spoken unto Moses, saying, Only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel, but thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard, throughout their hosts. But the Levites shall pitch around about the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. Let's pray. Holy Father, God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for the power of your holy word. And we also thank you, Lord, for showing us how important it is to do things decently and in order. For you have emphasized that throughout your holy word. Help us, Lord, to apply that principle to our lives. For, Lord, we know that you're not the author of confusion. The devil is. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and to the standing between the living and the dead memorial devotional service family. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Treasury of David. This is episode number 17. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, chose for our reading, our devotional reading today, Psalm 37. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. His only hope is in his God, but that is so strong a confidence that he feels the Lord hath but to arise and he is saved. It is enough for the Lord to stand up and all is well. He compares his enemies to wild beasts. And he declares that God hath broken their jaws so that they could not injure him. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Or else he alludes to the peculiar temptations to which he was then exposed. They had spoken against him. God therefore has smitten them upon the cheekbone. They seemed as if they would devour him with their mouths. Whose head is broken? Pardon me. They seemed as if they would devour him with their mouths. God hath broken their teeth, and let them say what they will, their toothless jaws shall not be able to devour him. Rejoice, O believer, thou hast to do with a dragon whose head is broken, and with enemies whose teeth are dashed from their jaws. Glory be to God, shall we pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this truth. Help us to believe it and help us to act accordingly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. All right, today we're supposed to be reading another passage in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll get back to that as my producers are starting all over again. They started all over again yesterday with what God said to wives, and so we're going to continue that with what God said to husbands. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 32. This is what we call the family verses, and this is a passage for those of you who are in the standing between the living and the dead memorial devotional services. You're familiar with the fact that we do this every day because families are in deep, deep trouble. And I'm talking about primarily in the church. Do you know that the family, the Christian family, can get into more trouble with God and in this world far quicker and far deeper than lost families can? You know why? Because Christian families, if you will allow me to say that, and we know better, or we're supposed to know better. And if we violate the word of God knowing better, we're in deep trouble real quick with God and in this world. With God, because God is not pleased with our behavior as his followers. With the world, because the world is going to see us as nothing but hypocrites. And do you not know that the world can be very polite to Christians and not call you a hypocrite to your face? I believe those days are coming to a close in America and around the world. But the world has been very polite. In fact, we're in the newspaper business and have been for many years. And one of the things I've noticed about the world and secular media, if Christian publications deal with the problems in the church as we should, and as our company does, they won't mess with it. But if you're not moving fast enough to take care of the wickedness in the church as a religious publishing news organization, they will do so, as they should. And they're doing it more and more because we have a bunch of Christians in journalism who want to try to cover up for pastors and preachers and the mess that's going on in the church, including child molestation, the raping of women, the raping of boys and girls, the raping of men by female preachers. And such abominations as homosexuality and swinging in the church. All that has to be brought out into the light and rebuked. And people need to be seen as the phonies and the hypocrites that they are. Beloved, you must understand that this is what God wants, because God is not into secrets at all. God is all about light and transparency. It has to be done. And not only that, but it is good for society. That's right. Being transparent, being honest about all of our mess and our sins in the church is good for society. Oh yes, some wicked sinners will laugh and scorn. But if we tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and ask for forgiveness, and the world knows that the church is monitoring their own, they will have more respect for the church. It is time out for pastors and bishops lying and living a lie and covering up for their little preacher boys and the messes that they're making all across the country. As you know, I've said many times down through the years, we need about over 50% of the pastors to resign because they've never been called by God. They went into the ministry for a profession or a job or what they think is easy money to deceive people. Their mama called them, their daddy called them. They never have been called by God. They don't even know God. And thank God, some people under the pressure of the plague, the coronavirus plague, thank God, many of these hirelings are being pushed out of the ministry by the drove. They can't take this, see. They got to have the people in there giving them money and pats on the back and sex and everything else to do what they do. But the truly God-called man, he doesn't need anybody. He's going to preach. I know some preachers preaching their best stuff. They've never preached this much. They're happy. They're glad the people are going, because they're still preaching to thousands, but they're doing it in a different way. And they're preaching better now than they ever have preached. There's no quenching of the spirit. None of the sin that's in the church is there in the building. And the preacher can just go to town, and he's just going, the real preachers are going to town. And the church is not, those local churches are not suffering at all, at all. In fact, they are thriving. These little preachers who have never been called by God, everything was nothing but a farce in the first place, and it's all being burned down to the ground. It's over. And some commit ministerial suicide, some commit real suicide, some commit ministerial suicide in a plague, in the coronavirus plague. All the band is gone, all the music is gone, all the dancing and running around is gone, all of the robbing the people of the money is gone, all of the self-adulation and causing people to worship the preacher is gone. All of the beautiful women coming by to use their eyes on him and say how wonderful he is, and all of that is gone. So they committed ministerial suicide. You say, preacher, what is ministerial suicide? I've never heard that term before. I've never heard it before either. God just gave it to me. They went out into a park in a doggone circle and found a beautiful woman and committed adultery with her. That's ministerial suicide. We've had several, quite a few preachers do this mess. They know better. And in the midst of a plague, when you can't even be with people, they go and be with people or try to get with somebody, and they've gone down. That's what's happening, folks. So all that's free. That's not scripted. All that's free. God just wanted me to tell you that. Anyway, back to the Word of God, Ephesians 5, 25 through 32. Here's what God wants husbands to do. It doesn't matter what you want, sir. It doesn't matter what your wife wants. It doesn't matter what your children want. It does not matter what your pastor wants. He's really out of the picture when it comes down to your family in the first place. I know you don't understand that. Some of y'all don't like that. You got to have somebody ruling over you and your family. I want you to know the only somebody who rules over you is God. Number one, Jesus. God is in God, Jesus, and then the husband. That's how that works. Not the pastor, not the church, not the pastor's wife, nobody else. That's right. You're the pastor of that family. Okay? And you get your instructions, sir, from God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God. Not from your wife, not from your teenagers, not from your pastor. He should not be in the mix whatsoever. Whatsoever. The church is there to help Christians and families serve God and worship God and be obedient to God. The only power they have over your family or your life as an individual is that if you sin against God, if you are sinning or anybody in your family is sinning against God and not doing right in the community, they can church you. That means they can excommunicate you. They can say you can't be a part of this congregation. That's the only authority they have. They have no authority over your family per se. So God said, not the pastor. He better do what God told him to do in his family. He better worry about his own family. We got too many pastors worrying about other people's family, and their family is shot to hell. And if I'm lying, I'm flying. So some pastors need to just do what God called them to do and take care of their own family. They don't need to be in the midst of your family. You're the head of your family. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we'll be reading verse 33 tomorrow. And verse 33 is the only verse that deals with the husband and the wife all at the same time in one verse in this passage of Holy Scripture, which I call the family verses. Join me in praying for others. Holy Father God, we pray now, Lord, for all people who claim to be Christians, all who name the name of Christ around the world. Someone said the other day, there are billions of Christians. Lord, only you know. I hope so. And I do pray, Lord, that you'll help us all who name the name of Christ to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent, and to get back to you, our first love. Holy Father God, we pray for the president and for all other people in government ministry. We pray, Lord, that you would save their souls, change their lives, and cast out the devil and the demons of hell out of their lives. Lead, guide, and direct them in the way that you want them to go, to lead us in such a way that we can live quiet and peaceful lives. Lord, as you know, ever since I've been saved, I've always wanted to live in a community where it's peaceful and quiet and the people are law-abiding. And Holy Father God, we're told today that that in a 72-hour period, nearly 500 people were shot or killed in this country called the Great America. Lord, help us to be reminded of your Holy Scripture that before you judged the world last time with the flood, the main thing that was going on was an increase in violence, which is, as you know, Lord, I've been praying for 41 years now, probably over 41 years, no doubt, for the peace of Jerusalem and now the Holy City. For the first time in my 41 years of being saved, is being bombed like I've never seen before. And so, Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem today in a very real sense. And we pray, Lord, for the salvation of the lost. Lord, in our families, in the church, in the world. We pray for the revival of the saved in the family, in the church, in this country, and in the world. We pray for those who are sick, not only physically, but mentally sick. Some are demon-possessed. We pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that the devil is behind all of this killing and suicide. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd cast out the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people, in our families, in churches, in this country, and around the globe. For, Lord, only the devil can make a man kill his wife, kill his children, and then kill himself. There's just, I cannot imagine any other way that that is done. So, Lord, continue to have mercy and grace upon such a sin-sick world. And, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, comfort those who are grieving. Lord, as we will pray for some specifically here shortly, we pray now, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. And, Lord, we pray also, Lord, and help everybody here to pray and not drift off into the middle, look off into the middle distance and drift off to sleep and not focus on others. Help everybody to pray, not just me. And Lord, help us to focus on you as we pray. We pray now for Ravi. Please bless them with a new roof for the church building. We pray for Lisa. Please heal and bless her husband, Rinaldo, her sons Corey and Anthony, her daughter Elise, and her 7 grandchildren. We pray for G. Please open Jacqueline's heart to you and pave the way for G to reach out to her with your love. And Holy Father God, we pray for people who have trusted you as Savior in their hearts and lives. We pray through the preaching of the gospel through this ministry. We pray for Ashish. We pray for Bahala. We pray for Busisi. We pray for Tina, and we pray for Deborah. And Lord, we pray for people who have recommitted their lives to you through the preaching of your holy word through this ministry. We pray for Alfredo, Rosalia, Mario, Evelyn, and Beltra. And we pray for the thousands of others who've done the same by your grace and might around the world. We pray now, Lord, for those people by name who have, their families have been hurt because of the death of loved ones from the coronavirus plague. And we pray for all of the thousands and millions in India who are under what is similar to the bubonic plague in the number of people that are dying. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Indian hockey player M.K. Kashyap. We pray for the family and friends of Indian hockey player Ravinder Pal Singh. We pray for the family and friends of Illinois veteran Richard Siski Sr. We pray for the family and friends of Minnesota resident Cesar Cruz. We pray also for the family and friends of New York Deacon Marion Brown. Holy Father God, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Lord, let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, "that whosoever believeth in him," the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. The word "believeth" means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish," that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner. And I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to truly repent of my sins present. And to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.